morning and again for another day. Thankful for your word as we look into it. Again, as it is your word, we just ask that the Spirit might guide our thoughts as we look into it and might be helpful, and we would be grateful for that. Amen. Okay, we've been looking at the soul. Last week we didn't finish the soul, so we're going to pick up where we left off last week and looking at the soul. We noted that we all do have a soul. As humans, we are body, soul, and spirit. And so if any, you have any doubt about that, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 speaks of our whole and every part, spirit, soul, and body, and they all have a definite article, different specific elements of man. That's what makes man up. Man is is three parts, and so he's a trichotomy, and that's where what we've been looking at. Man is spirit, soul, and body, to put it in Paul's order in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We looked at the soul last week and noted that it is the emotional makeup of man. We defined it as the immaterial part of man which animates the body. It is the seat of the emotions and of the five senses. And so it does interpret the nerves, the impulses of the nerves to the brain, to the physical organ, and hence to the sense of the senses, your five senses, to the mind. And so it renders us capable of feeling and emotions. And so we all have feelings, we all have emotions. And as we have emotions, we have a soul, though, a soul that is yet to be saved. And so that's one of the things we'll be looking at this morning. We'll go back and look at the passage dealing with the fact that the soul is not yet saved. It's the weak link that against which the sin nature wages a limited warfare. And so it does wage a warfare against the soul. Now, some people are a little more soulish than others. Some people are more emotional than others. And we all have emotions. And we can try to hide those emotions. But let me tell you, if we come back and stomp on your foot, you're not going to be rationally thinking, oh my, that must have hurt, that hurt. No, you're going to jump and you're going to react, and it's going to be a soulish reaction. It's going to be interpreting the feeling of the stomp on the foot to your mind. It's going to work through, it's through the soul, though. We all have a soul. And we all have feelings, and we have some elements of the soul. They can be good. Sometimes you can have good emotions, and sometimes you have bad emotions. But the emotions are, again, they're the weak link within our being. Now, we have a verse that specifically tells us that the flesh does attack through the soul. But on the other side of it, we don't have a verse, but we do have descriptions in Scripture that would say that the world system, and when we look around about us, the world system does appeal to the five senses, and we've made emphasis on that before also, that by way of review. The world system does appeal to our senses. If you drive down the street and see billboards and signs, they're appealing to what? Well, it tastes good, it smells good, it looks good. It'll feel good. It'll sound good. It appeals to your senses, though. It really is appealing to the emotion, to our emotions. And so they're not, it's not a rational thing. It isn't a rational thing that you don't need to go down and buy this kind of car. And they tell you it's the best, how beautiful it is and how nicely it rides and everything. That's not the rational thing. The rational thing would be to look it over and is this thing going to last? Is it any, you might reason through some of that, but the appeal of the world system is it's to your soul. And so it does appeal to the soul. Satan, on the other hand, he'll appeal to your soul, no doubt. But sometimes he will appeal to your rational mind also, as he will put thoughts in from without. But the worst enemy we have is the enemy within the flesh, and it does attack through the soul. And so we all have a soul. We can't delete it. We can't get rid of emotions. But we do need to be aware that our emotion, our soul is not saved. Now, our spirit is saved. And so just by way of review again, when you look at the spirit of man, when you look at our spirit as believers, it's in the realm of the spirit that we're born again. And so that which is born of the spirit, out from the spirit, it says in John 3:6, that which is born out from the spirit is what? It's spirit. It's the realm of your human spirit. In the realm of your human spirit is where the new birth takes place, and as a result you have eternal life because Christ indwells you. In fact, it's within the human spirit, our rational part of the rational part of our mind, the rational part of our being, that's where the Godhead indwells us. And that's where the Holy Spirit indwells and enables us. It's not in the realm of the soul, which isn't saved yet, but it's in the realm of our spirit that the Holy Spirit ministers to us. And so he ministers to our spirit. And when we're spirit filled, it's within the realm of our human spirit, not the soul. And that's why we say that when it comes down to the decisions we make in life, in the Christian life, we need to use our rational mind. That's where we learn. It's not that the emotions, they work together with the rational mind, but you can't get rid of them, but you will have feelings. You will be affected by feelings. And so it's okay if you have emotions. I remember the last time our dad came down to visit before he went home to be with the Lord, and he was standing out on the step out here, out on the porch out there, talking to Dr. Schaefer. And dad, we never saw a lot of emotion out of him necessarily growing up, but he was talking to Dr. Schaefer, and I was standing there, and he said, the older I get, I read something in the scripture and I just tear up. And it affected him. He was looking at it, no doubt. I mean, he's looking at it with his rational mind, but it affected his soul. And Dr. Schaefer said, well, that's the way it works. He says, that's fine. I mean, he used that as an illustration, and yet the soul, if you started with the soul, that's when you can get into problems. And so we should focus on letting, and I just used the terms last week. We don't have a verse that uses the terms, but it does fit. You let the spirit take the lead instead of the soul. Don't be run around we have a ring in your nose by the soul. If you make soulish decisions, you get into trouble. It's good advice. I've heard the advice given to people. Don't make any decisions when you're distraught or when you're emotional. Don't make emotional decisions, because those decisions, generally will be bad decisions. They're not the best decisions to make if you make them so totally on the basis of how you feel and how you emote. But you, do it. You make your decisions. Let the spirit take the lead when you make decisions in life. Otherwise, you can end up in problems. But the soul, it's not saved. So don't let it pull you around and yank you around. But the spirit, it's in the realm of the spirit that our salvation has taken place. And so we do need to be aware and work at not being totally soulish, but let the spirit take the lead. The soul and the spirit, they are part of us, and they do work together. And like I said, you can't eliminate the soul, but you have a soul, and yet you don't want it to be, and they do work together. And so you can be rationally thinking something, and it can affect your soul in a good way. Or the soul can also be used by one of the enemies to get you as well. And so it's, again, you let the spirit, your human spirit, take the lead rather than this being soulish about it. In fact, that's all the unsaved man can do in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He's referred to as the natural man, and it is The word there is psychikos. I think maybe we'll come back and look at that in another week. The soulish versus the spiritual. But when you look at the soulish man, he's a soulish man. He pertains to the soul. He can make rational decisions. He has a rational mind, but he's not saved. And so he's more, he tends to lean more towards his soulish nature, and he does more, make more decisions in that way. But based upon his being soulish, he pertains to the soul and he emanates the things of the soul more so. And so he is not capable of understanding the things of the Spirit of God. He rejects them. He actively just rejects the things from the Spirit of God. And he doesn't have the ability to begin to know them. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. And so it's not soulish. So that, the soul isn't the realm in which we learn, but it is the rational mind. Now the soul is the seat of the emotions, and we looked at some descriptions last week of the soul. We went through uses of the word psuche, which is the Greek word for soul, and we noted how it is used of emotional kinds of things. We looked at Mary, how Simeon in the temple said that a sword would pierce through her soul in the future. And we described it as piercing with a sword. That's painful. I've never been pierced by a sword. The worst I've been pierced by is probably by maybe a fair-sized sliver or something, but it's painful. And then what he's saying in the soul, an immaterial part, he would suffer a pain on the basis of what would happen to her child when he grew up. The soul can also be troubled. It can be agitated. And we also notice the same term used with the spirit. So you can either have an agitated soulish response or a rational response that can be agitated. You can't, kind of bothers you mentally in your mind, as rationally as you're reasoning about something that's going to take place. The Lord was troubled when he said that one of the disciples was going to betray him. And so he's troubled in his spirit. But the heart can be troubled as well. You can have agitation within your heart. And the agitation, but there is agitation also within the realm of the soul. And so you do see that. And so you can be troubled within the soul. Be like you're thrown in the washing machine and the agitator is going and it really shakes you around. But that can happen within the realm of the soul as well. And so you can be troubled. We saw descriptions exceedingly sad, very sad, deeply grieved is the idea. You can suffer pressure or anguish. The soul can be wearied and faint. Just some terms that do relate to your emotions. It also can be vexed. The word vexed there has the idea of being burdened. And you can see the effects of the soul and the tribulation saints who were slain for the word of God there under the altar, the heavenly altar. John saw their soul. He saw them as souls, but he saw them crying out. He saw their emotional response, and they want vengeance, and they want it now. And so they're crying out for vengeance on those on the earth who slew them. And so you have, that's a very much an emotional response. We also noted that the soul can be stirred up in a very negative way, in a bad way, against others. And so the Jews, they stirred the Gentiles up against the brethren. And so they stirred them up. And so the stirring up of the soul. And so they turned them against the brethren and had an ill effect for the brethren. The soul on the other side of it can also experience ease. You can have an easy life. And so we saw the rich man who was tearing down his barns and building bigger barns so that he's talking to his soul. He addresses his soul and he tells his soul, be at ease, be glad. And so he has everything he needs to kick back and have an easy life. And that was something, again, the soul can appreciate that and it was gladdened by the goods that he had, and so forth. And so these are the descriptions that we looked at of the soul in the New Testament. We're not going back to the Old Testament to deal with this, because the theme that we're looking at is the Christian thought life and its relationship to the Christian life. How does your thought life relate to your Christian life? What do you think about? And how does it affect you? Well, we all have a spirit, the human spirit, which is a part of the mind and our inner man, the heart. And you have that realm in which is rational. You also have the soul, which relates to mind. And it's also the emotional part of man. So we have both of those things. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at some of the problems of the soul and some of the needs of the soul. The soul does have some problems. It can have problems, and it also has some needs. And we're just sticking to the use of psuche, looking at different descriptions of it as we look at